Christchurch and Banks Peninsula residents can go online from Friday to find out how vulnerable their properties are to coastal erosion. It's part of Christchurch City Council's efforts to engage residents in moves to adapt coastal and low-lying areas of the city and the peninsula in line with predicted sea level rises. It's anticipated the digital tool will give residents information so they can be part of this conversation, using data from a coastal hazard assessment report by environmental and engineering consultancy Tonkin and Taylor. Residents will be able to see how coastal flooding, erosion and groundwater levels could affect their properties from now until the middle of the century through a colour coding system. Data suggests parts of Christchurch and Banks Peninsula are likely to become uninhabitable by 2050. Council Principal Programme Advisor Jane Morgan is with us. Tēnā koe, welcome Jane.
Kia ora, Catherine.
So first, can you explain a bit more about the work Tonkin and Taylor has done and what it has revealed about the forward path?
Sure. So we knew that we needed to get an updated coastal hazards assessment report completed because we didn't have mapping right across our district. So we've added in some parts of Banks Peninsula as well as the city. And we've also added in some updated data from new reports around tides and sediment. Essentially, the purpose of this is to provide us all with a really good understanding of how sea level rise will impact all of our low-lying and coastal communities. We've got a very, very long coastline, and it is low-lying. And so what we can see with this information is how those impacts of flooding, erosion, and rising groundwater could impact us in the future. We've picked a range of different scenarios so people can interact with this information themselves. They can search out using our interactive portal the dates at which they might want to see the impacts, and they can also look at the levels of sea level rise over time and how that changes.
Can you indicate which are the most vulnerable areas and infrastructure over this time?
Well, largely the impacts across our district will occur along our coastlines, but also up into our estuary areas and low-lying harbours and bays, and also along our rivers. So we have multiple impacts across the district in a lot of different areas.
This is such a sensitive area. I've got the feeling it may be residents of your district or perhaps nearby who went to court over moves to try and put things on limbs. So is this another way of trying to enable people to get informed, be proactive in their forward planning, purchases of properties or where things might be built? Is this another way to begin to prepare people?
Absolutely. We know this is a really challenging conversation for people in those affected areas, and we're really sensitive to that. So we've been listening a lot to what the coastal communities have to say, and we've looked at the lessons we've learned from previous experiences, and we're trying to take a different approach this time. We're really trying to start the conversation with communities, bringing them in really early, and looking at how we can provide information in a range of different ways. Our focus has really been with this mapping tool and also with the accompanying public facing report on ensuring that anyone can engage with this information. We don't really only want to be speaking to people who might have, you know, a PhD in coastal geomorphology. We want the average person to be able to go online and jump online and have a look at this information and engage with it. And that's the sort of the starting point for our community conversations around what we might do to help manage these hazards
so
in the future.
This is a step along the way. There may well still be conversations about how much taxpayers or ratepayers are prepared to spend on seawalls and stop banks. There may be parts where really managed retreat is the most logical thing to do. But you can't have the conversations if people don't have a really good sense of what things might look like. Is that the thrust of it?
Absolutely, yeah. We want people to be as informed as they can be. And it has been quite a complex area for people to engage in. You know, these are quite technical pieces of information. So we've really focused on using plain language. We're, for example, calling storm events, you know, rare, occasional and frequent, rather than using the technical terms for those
100
events.
100 years so starting people... to look a bit wobbly, really, isn't it?
Well, that's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so if someone comes to the website and wants to have a look at what's happening in the area they live or perhaps an area they're thinking of living, what do they do and how can they see what might be happening in 5 years, 10 years or by mid-century?
Sure. So first of all, they can go onto the Christchurch City Council website and just search for coastal hazards, and that will pop up this portal. It's got extensive kind of notes in the overview section. So there's a lot of kind of information about, you know, what do we mean by sediment? What do we mean by storm events? What do we mean by flooding? So there's a lot of background information for people before they start to engage with the slider, which is our main feature. So along the top, they can select flooding, erosion or groundwater. And the slider will come up. It's really got two sides to it. So you can select what year you'd like to look at. You can look at current day risk, so you can look at 2020, or you can go right as far out as 2150. And if you adjust that, it will indicate the amount of sea level rise which is likely to occur from right now, right through to 2 metres of sea level rise. You can also look at the sea level rise and go backwards and find out the year that is likely or possible to, may occur. So we're trying to get away from a fixation on a particular scenario and debating the likelihood on that of that. We're wanting people to be able to engage with the information and understand kind of the changes over time.
Now, I've gone in and put in my old flat from many years ago, because we can literally do this property by property, can we?
The information is modelling information. We're not saying it's absolutely 100% accurate to the square metre of someone's property. We're looking at it more at a neighbourhood level, but absolutely we know people will want to see what the impacts will be on their property. So we have given a property search function. So you can put in your address and you can have a look at
I've
that.
I've just done it, and then I've just put in and I've got the overview, and then I've put in coastal, I've clicked on coastal flooding. It's given me, I can take the slider up and down. Yep. From 2020 all the way to 2050, and I've got some colour coding to give me the depth of flooding that might be expected. High, median, moderate, low scenarios. Coastal erosion, I wasn't near the coast. Wow, and groundwater is the other one, because this is another issue. Often people think of sea level rise as being all about coastal inundation, but actually where the water table's low, it's the flooding, and Christchurch certainly had its fair share of that, didn't it, and Flopton Basin, etc. So people can go, and I suppose it's a way of certainly researching if you're thinking about property purchases or other matters, or where you might retire to, which will start to bring its own consumer demand or pressure on areas, won't it? Or one hopes it might anyway cause some thought about certainly where people choose to develop. But what's clear also is that this is going to be the first stage of some larger conversations, right? Does it begin right now with some feedback on what you've got up right now?
Yeah, so one of the things we have learned from listening to our coastal communities is they want to be part of developing our approach. They're not looking for us to come out and provide, you know, direction and have them respond. They want to be involved from the outset. So alongside the release of the online portal, we've got two documents that are also out for community feedback. So we've got a coastal adaptation framework, which is our proposed approach to working with existing communities to help determine how we might adapt in the future. And that will occur in tranches of communities around our district, because we do have a number of communities that will be affected. And we're looking for people to provide feedback on that proposed approach. We're also releasing an issues and options discussion paper about how we might go about undertaking a coastal hazards plan change, to our district plan. And again, we're really starting right from the early stages with four different options. And we're asking communities, you know, what do you think about these options? Are there other options we haven't thought about? You know, how do you think we should go about this? So it's very much an engagement focused approach, and we're really wanting to hear from not just our coastal communities, we want to hear from right across the city. We've got a strong focus as well on understanding what children and young people really think about these issues, because these impacts are going to occur for, you know, for centuries to come.
Thank you very much, Jane Morgan of the Christchurch City Council. She's Council Principal Program Advisor, and there's a link if you want to go and have a play with that tool. There's a link on our webpage.